Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. Back with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your deadly program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country, BBM Bummerbrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your say and yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. Groundbreaking allergy advice platform to help bridge the gap in care for rural Australians. So a groundbreaking new platform, believed to be the first of its kind globally, is set to transform the landscape of allergy care for rural and remote Australians. With that, we're going to catch up and have a yarn now with Dr. Katie Frith, co-chair of the National Allergy Council Shared Care for Allergy Project, and got her on the line. Dr. Katie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. I'm really well. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. So here we have it, groundbreaking allergy advice platform to help bridge the gap in care for rural Australians. And the first of its kind globally. How smart are we Australians?
I know. We're pretty excited about the platform and the opportunity to try and support our rural and regional doctors. So, yeah, we think it's the first of its kind being offered to support doctors in managing patients in our country and remote Australia.
Sure.
Those with a range of allergy conditions.
All right, fantastic. So how does it work? So the doctors, GPs, have access to this platform. Tell us how it operates as such.
Sure. So all GPs that belong to, and rural generalists, so sort of who belong to the College of Rural and Remote Medicine, can automatically register. But as a part of the pilot program, we also have spots for 200 other rural GPs that can sign up. And then they can just log in through a web-based system, so log on online. And if they've got a patient with an allergic condition and they're not sure if they need to refer them to see a specialist or if they need some advice while the patient's waiting to see a specialist, they can submit de-identified data, so it's all very safe and there's no actual patient data being transmitted. And it's the site is staffed by four specialists, so two adult and two pediatric allergy specialists.
Yes.
And they will provide advice within a couple of days as to best how to best manage the patient or whether or not they should be referred to try and help the patient get the right diagnosis earlier.
So it's a great communication platform, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fantastic, actually. And I know the four specialists who will be providing the advice, and they're all really senior and experienced, which is great. But the other good thing about the platform is if you're a GP and you haven't submitted a case, you can still see the information that the specialist is providing about the case. So you might have a similar patient and be able to learn from that.
Yes.
And we've also uploaded some like education modules. So it's an advice and education platform so that doctors can do these mini modules and count that for their continuing professional development.
And so when we talk about this new platform, Dr. Katie, and being the first of its kind globally, we've been behind the eight ball, you could say, and but thanks to technology and visionary, it's come to fruition.
Yeah, for sure. So obviously Australia's a massive country, and for a lot of our rural and remote patients, travelling to see a specialist, because specialists tend to be located in the cities, is a major undertaking, you know, needing time off work and also the cost of having to travel to see someone. So we are hoping to sort of harness technology and use this platform to help support doctors, but also thereby supporting patients. And I think we're really enthusiastic because although it's the first of its kind worldwide for allergy advice, the platform has been running to provide dermatology advice, so to provide information to doctors and support them managing skin conditions. And we know it's worked really well for that, so it's great to be able to use a the same platform
For allergies. Yes, fantastic. Launched back in late February. So here we are, 10 March. So underway now, operating?
Operating, and we've already got quite a number of GPs registered, which is fantastic, and using the platform. We're promoting it through sort of medical channels so more health professionals know about it, but also wanting our patients and in rural and remote Australia to be aware of it because it'll help support them.
So with GPs studying now, would this be on the cards and regarding their education and their qualification as well?
Pardon? Yeah, so it's available. You mean like available now?
Available now, but also for for future. Well, the people who are studying to become GPs now, they would be educated on this platform, would they not?
Yeah, definitely. And we've got the funding for a 12-month pilot, so it'll go through to February 2026. And then hopefully if it's successful, the goal would be to roll it out and also to increase the number of doctors able to subscribe to it.
Beautiful. Fantastic. Well, great news. Fantastic. Talking about closing gaps. This is fantastic. A great vehicle, a great platform. Dr. Katie, thank you for sharing. All the best to your team. Keep doing what you're doing, and we'll be in touch.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks so much for speaking with me, Trevor.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
Beautiful young there, Dr. Katie Frith, her name is, co-chair of the National Allergy Council Shared Care for Allergy Project. And she's also a pediatric clinic immunology specialist as well. So there it is, fantastic. And talking about the groundbreaking allergy advice platform to help bridge gap in care for rural Australians. Fantastic. And the first of its kind globally. So smart Australians, and that we are, too deadly. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416.
She jumps in the front seat and wipes all those tears. Turns on the radio and listens to this song. And she starts thinking of how things used to be. And she starts singing like she wrote this song. And I can't go back to that place that reminds me of you and I. There's nothing wrong to the way I feel, so don't ask me to come.
Back to that place. That reminds me of you and I. There's nothing wrong to the way I feel, so don't ask me to come back home. Nothing wrong.
National Talk Black.
Slewa.
Lem ready au bakirge, dasmeli au muriske. Lem ready au bakirge, dasmeli au muriske. Lem ready au bakirge, dasmeli au muriske. Tabakesle. Tabakeslewa.
Tag mauki mauki. Teter mauki mauki. Adlegir mimika.
Bra, bra, bra. Feel the music, feel the music. Feel the music. Last connection, last connection. Astronomical. Astronomical.
Like headlies, got the music all dreadly. Keep it cool and rock steady, rough and ready.
Yeah.
to the loop. Ain't nothing funny about the ways of the loop. Many different ways that I cook. I'll never be amazed by the ways that I cook. Shook up, shake it around. Quit that faking, take it to town. Break it down like Lego. Shake your hips to the treble. Get with it like heavy metal. Up on one level. Like if you're going for a gold medal. Rhyme with the instrumental. Well thought of, non-incidental.
These are the stuff just for you.
Who?
Just you and your whole mob crew.
Yep.
Board leg with nothing to do.
Yeah.
Get proper mad deadly. Let it go like you got no shame.
Shame.
Get wrecked like you got no name.
Name.
Get busy with the why you came.
Yeah.
Get proper mad deadly.
Bra, bra, bra.
Hey, brother from another mother, don't do a robbery. Get on the floor and do the corroboree. I'm a sucker. Four fella, do the shake a leg. Do the cup car, cup car. But no break a leg. Cause we already started it. No hate. Dress your best so you impress you. Yes, you, yes, you know me. Cause I'm not the kind deadly. Keep it proper mad and you're glad when you see me. Dancing like everybody's watching you, watching me. Watching you do what you do and it's lovely. Just trust me, you need to be more. Take it to the floor, get happy, go lucky. In the midst of the PMD, it's the end to the A. What a try when you're deadly.
P, proper M-I-D, dilly dilly. Like proper mad hype, seeing yourself on the telly. Means going for a feed, filling up all your belly. All riding on your pussy flash, popping a wheelie. It's no show off, more like a blow off. Doing what you want and it's about to go off. Open up the eyes so they see ya. See, I'm like an ADHD kid throwing back six pack Red Bulls on my nostrils, burning fuel fossils. So excited, and I just can't hide. I'm a peep of an M-Mac down my leg. Yeah, yeah, that's what she said. I slip with the tongue, and now I've gone all red. No shame, no game. It's time to get busy with the why you came. Here's a little something just for you.
Who?
Just you and your whole mob crew.
Yep.
Board leg with nothing to do.
Yeah.
Get proper mad deadly. Let it go like you got no shame.
Shame.
Get wrecked like you got no name.
Name.
Get busy with the why you came.
Yeah.
Hip hop, mad deadly.
Hip hop, mad deadly.
Proper, proper deadly.
Yes, very good morning, New Delhi Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumrabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong, New Mob. All right, now on campus, CAFE supports students and parents at Anuru College. That's in Adelaide. And look, fantastic, great opportunity. And we're going to catch up a yarn now with the college principal of Noodle College in Adelaide. That's Andrew Plasto. Andrew's on the line. Andrew, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. Doing very well, thank you.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, congratulations on campus, CAFE. First of all, let's talk about Noodle College. The name of Noodle College, where did it come from? How long you been operating for? And the language from what tribal mob, please?
Thanks, Trevor. So we are on Kaurna country. We're in the western suburbs of Adelaide. And the name Noodle is a Kaurna word that means knowledge. And
knowledge.
It's a word that's been gifted to us by the Kaurna Language Committee based here in Adelaide, supported by the elders.
Beautiful. And how long has Noodle College been running for?
The college has been going since the beginning of 2021.
Mm-hmm.
We started initially as a primary school, but we've extended now to going from preschool through to year 11, with year 12 coming on board next year.
Lovely. And it's co-ed and it's open for all students?
Open for everybody.
Yes.
We have a target enrolment of having 51% Aboriginal children, so we're a majority somewhere.
Okay.
But it is very intentionally for Aboriginal, non-Aboriginal children to come Beautiful. Together, learn on country and learn about Aboriginal ways
Fantastic.
Of being.
Beautiful, fantastic. And let's talk about the cafe, Nani, I believe it's called, and the meaningful Nani.
Yes, so Nani, in Kaurna language, means gathering place.
Good, love it. Have a coffee, yes.
Yes.
Fantastic. So, the concept behind it, train, teach people, gathering place, bringing parents and students together, profitable. We're talking about money going back into the school. Explain that, please, Andrew.
Well, yeah, so the idea of it is to provide our young people with the opportunity to develop the skills and confidence and the CVs to then sort of go into, make it easier for them to break into the open market for part-time
yes.
jobs and so forth as they study.
Good.
So doing the learning in a really supportive environment, but also giving them the opportunity to have earnings while they go as well, so that they can start to set up their own financial independence.
Beautiful. So we're talking about a job platform, if not business entrepreneur platform, you could say.
Yes, absolutely. And that will be actually the entrepreneurial side will be the second element of the cafe. We've got a shop that's on site as well.
Mm-hmm.
So some of our young people who don't necessarily want to work in the hospitality space
yes.
have got the opportunity of developing ethical products
yes.
For sale in the shop so that they will then earn commissions from the sale of their particular products that they're developing along the way too. So a range of different ways that our young people can start to get that financial security.
Lovely. Now, the cafe itself, is it shop front? Is it only accessible from the streets or is it within the school grounds?
So we're very fortunate that we've got a building out the front of our college. So we've actually fenced it separately from the college.
Okay.
Our young people can actually access it as effectively like a school canteen from the back of the cafe.
Okay, great.
And then it's accessible to the public from the front.
Fantastic. The concept, the idea, where did it come from and how did it come to fruition?
So one of my... I used to be a principal of a primary school in the public system in Adelaide, and
mm-hmm.
one of my ex... students from primary school was a mum here and she was enrolling her child here a couple of years ago and just sort of catching up with what she'd been doing over the years in between.
Mm. Yes.
And she was saying that she was really wanting to be a barista but just hadn't had the opportunity to be one. So it was the idea really of Talitha that gave me this view of, well, let's see if we can do this give this sort of leg up for our kids coming through, but also with the possibility of some of our young parents who might have missed those opportunities in the past then coming through and having those opportunities as well.
Yeah, everything starts with an idea, doesn't it, Andrew?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, fantastic.
Absolutely. And it's just nice. Unfortunately, Talitha's moved well out of our area now, but it's sort of nice that the ideas come from her, and
yes.
We've been able to put it in place in
Lovely.
Sort of in her memory in a way. Yep.
All right, fantastic. Flat White with one. Thank you very much, Andrew. Good yarning with you. Congratulations. Big shout out to the students there at Noodle College, and from little things, big things grow. Thank you for your yarn, and you take care, and we'll talk soon, my friend.
Thank you very much, Trevor. Have a good morning.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
A beautiful yarn there. Andrew Plasto, his name is, the principal of Noodle College in Adelaide. And we're talking about the on-campus cafe that's opened up and supports parents and at the Noodle College. And the name of the cafe is Nani, which means gathering place. They look fantastic, working closely with the traditional owners and regarding naming and permission to do so. And look, fantastic opportunity job-wise for the students and business-wise, entrepreneur-wise. So, look, fantastic. And operating a bit of funds coming back into their school as well. So there it is. Work smarter, not harder. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Yarnin' with the Bully on here. Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Yarn up strong, you mob too deadly.
Hey you mob, did you know Child's World Early Learning Centre's free kindergarten approved program has been nurturing growth and learning for over 30 years with early childhood education for children aged from 6 weeks to kindergarten? To find out more, get in contact at 4045 4045. Station sponsor.
First Nations Connect is Telstra's phone line and service centre for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander customers. You can call our friendly team on 1800 444 403 if you have any questions about your Telstra phone or internet plan. Or visit telstra.com and search First Nations Connect. That's 1800 444 403 and telstra.com. Search First Nations Connect.
Station sponsor.
National Talk Black.
National Talk Black.
We're going to the next segment, which we're yarning, proudly sponsored by Perry's, that's IGA at Edmonton and Brinsmead, and give us a box of food here at Bummer Bipper Media, healthy living, healthy lifestyle. And big shout out to those guys. Thank you very much, sponsor for this program. Edmonton Police, we've got Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay and his bodyguard there. We've got Stephen Grant, liaison officer. Good morning, gentlemen. How are we?
Yeah, good morning, Trevor.
Trevor.
All right, fantastic. Steve, who are your mob? Where are you from?
Yes, the footprints of the Tully Mission Cardwell area.
Yes.
Pretty wet place.
Yes.
You've been down there.
Been down there. Thank you. Got family down there. Big shout out to Lama and Sister Tyne.
Mm-hmm.
Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay, hillbilly man up on the Tablelands, and commute down here.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Yep.
At Edmonton Police, you head up there.
Yep, each day.
Fantastic. Now, he mentioned footprint, and our yarn today is fingerprints.
Fingerprints.
There you go. Footprint, fingerprint.
Yes.
So, look, there it is. A fingerprint is well, identification to individual.
Yep.
To who you are.
Absolutely. So it's a tool that we will use to identify people.
Yes.
We might start off with a history lesson. What do you
please,
think?
Yeah. Please, okay. Shed some light.
Okay. So James Henry Craig was the first criminal to be identified by his fingerprints in Queensland.
Whoa.
So in January 1905. Mr. Craig.
He was the first culprit.
He was the first one.
Yeah.
So Mr. Craig and an accomplice blew a safe up and made off with 9 pounds and 4 bottles of whiskey.
9 pounds.
Yep, so that was a store at Kangaroo Point. And a few days later, they've blown Kangaroo another Point. Safe up at Nunda Railway Station.
Yes.
Now, a fingerprint was found on a beer bottle at the scene of the first crime.
Mm.
And the fingerprint evidence, along with tools and revolvers, were found by police.
Yep.
And that all backed the case up against James Craig and his accomplice.
Okay.
So both were found guilty of safe-breaking offences. They got 5 years for the shop burglary and 10 years for the railway station crime. So tough years.
So when we talk, that's here in Queensland, fingerprint, and there his name is James Henry Craig, so now famous, you know. Is that fingerprints across the globe?
Yes.
First ever, or is the first one in Queensland?
That's the first one in Queensland.
In Queensland,
I'm quite sure that technology or movements towards using that as a identifying particulars was happening across the globe at the time.
Sure.
But poor old Mr. James Craig was the first
so
one.
So before 1905 in Queensland, way of finding out who the criminal is.
Yeah.
We weren't using fingerprints before then. No,
absolutely not.
That's right.
Yeah, probably.
Well, now we have 2025 DNA.
Yes, correct. Yep, yep. So we've got other means now of linking people towards a crime.
So in the 21st century, Senior Sergeant Lindelai, do you still do fingerprints?
We do. Okay. Yes. Yep. Okay. Now, if people have had their fingerprints taken, let's say over the past years, they would have noticed a difference between what we would have done, let's go back 10 or 15 years ago, to how we take our fingerprints now. So there's two types we can take. We can take wet prints, and we also do live scan. So wet prints is the old ink
on a piece of paper.
Yep, not the most pleasurable experience for your offender, because at the end of the experience, they've got a hand and palms and fingers full of black ink.
Yep,
they've got to wash off and
look. I'm hanging on every word. Pardon, and yeah, like I'm naive to it.
Yeah.
And that's a good statement, you could say.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I've never, ever been in the police station to do that. So, yeah. You know.
So look, now we have this live scan, and it's basically like a photocopier. So we, we scan your prints through a device there. That's been happening since...
And that goes online.
Correct.
And so if you're living in Cairns here, but you're holidaying down in Brisbane and something went down and your fingerprints is found...
Yeah.
It goes. It's in the system.
Absolutely. So look, if they don't have anything on the system, and they've been printed for the first time,
it stays there for that.
It'll stay there, and they'll get an identification number associated with that print and their name.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Okay. So 10, 20 years down the track, there it is.
That's right. So so previously recorded offenders, when their prints are taken. First of all, they're validated by fingerprint personnel at the Fingerprint Bureau. To confirm that's the same prints that is on file. Anyone, of course, that didn't have anything on file would be allocated that ID number. The results, identity results, are returned within 5 minutes of us scanning them.
Yes.
Then if there is prints matched against a crime, results of that comes back within about a 30-minute time back to the officers that have taken the prints to let you know that them prints are actually found with a crime that's unsolved at this stage. So,
yeah.
That's right. These fingerprints stay on the database forever. And because of the uniqueness of people's prints, that's what helps us identify who. Now, just because your fingerprints have been found at a crime scene doesn't mean you've committed the crime.
Thank you. That's
an important part.
It's part of the investigation.
Absolutely.
So we know who was in the room at the time or whatever case may
Absolutely.
Be, or who's been in that room.
Yeah.
You don't have to be, it doesn't say that what time you was in that room,
that's
but
right.
The fact that your fingerprints, you were in that room.
That's
sort of
right.
Thing.
Yeah. And look, a good example of that is a stolen vehicle. You know, someone's prints may be found on the outside of that vehicle. And, although they may be listed as a suspect, that vehicle may be parked at a shopping centre at some stage and they've touched the car as they walk past.
Yeah.
You know.
I tripped over my trolley and caught the car for catch my balance.
Yep. And look, we know this because all police are fingerprinted prior to joining this service. So they have all our fingerprints on file.
Oh, the police officers.
Of course. And the reason for that is when we go to a crime scene, if there's fingerprints on that crime scene...
Okay,
sometimes they are the actual police that were investigating the crime scene.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yep.
Yeah,
so we can discount those fingerprints straight away.
To say okay.
That they actually belong to police officers that have been involved with the investigation.
Over to you, Steve. As a PLO, do you guys work in that space?
No, not
No,
really.
You don't?
No.
But let me ask you a question. Do PLOs, can you arrest people?
No.
Okay.
We can assist.
Assist
the officer if he's given me a directive to do something.
Sure, rightio.
Like a prime example, if
Glenn but he would take the culprit into this the station to do the fingerprints.
Correct.
That's a police officer's job.
Yeah, but I could assist Glenn.
Okay, rightio. Yeah, sure.
Like if someone's a little bit apprehensive about the procedures, we can always lean on a PLO to come and just make them feel a bit more comfortable.
Sure, if we're talking about an indigenous person. Yeah.
And the other thing about this fingerprints, Trevor, is we've only got one print.
Yeah, the individual. Yep, that's right.
Desperate.
It's owned to you.
Correct.
Yeah, that's right.
And I believe the, don't get me wrong, I'm pretty sure the prints actually go to Canberra.
There is a national database as well.
Okay.
So if we believe that someone's been interstate, We can check that national database also. So, look, they're handy because crimes, some people may not be found to have committed a crime that will allow us to take their prints for many, many years. And they could have committed a crime 20, 30 years ago, and that crime is still unsolved and those prints are still on file.
Well, it becomes a so-called paper trail, doesn't it?
Absolutely. So, you know? so there's and look, it does happen frequently where we've printed someone and it's gone off to the Fingerprint Bureau. And all of a sudden we found that is a link between that person and a crime that's happened many, many years ago. And again, that's not a determination of guilt. That's just a tool that we know that person was present at a crime scene.
Well, with respect to loved ones who've lost loved ones through murder or crime or what have you, to me, 2025, you can't get away with murder. When you're talking about DNA, you're talking about fingerprints and technology and what have you.
Yeah, so that's exactly right. Fingerprints are only one tool that we've got to link people to offences. There's a number of other things. It may be DNA, maybe statements, witnesses.
We all watch the cop shows and what have you, you know. Yeah. They look at the footprint, the Nike shoes you were wearing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they even do teeth marks, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
So there's everything signs off to you, the individual.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's your print, there's your ID.
Absolutely.
In more ways than one.
Yep.
Identification.
And that puts you there, you know. But look, devices like the LifeScan now, certainly a lot more comfortable than the old ink wet prints, you know, when we put those down. They take a bit of time.
Sure.
A little bit of a trickery to folding the paper so we don't smudge prints over other prints. And And of course, then we've got the time factor as well, where we take the prints, they get approved by a supervisor, then we post them down to the Fingerprint Bureau. There's a lot of time involved in that, where with the OLive scan now, they're actually scanned immediately.
So everybody who gets arrested has fingerprints system, they go through the system.
They need to have committed an offence that would result in a 1-year imprisonment term. So there's certain offences that we can actually take your prints.
Oh, so drink driving or something like that, whatever.
No. And it's also important to remember when we take those prints, if you're found not guilty of a crime, of course, then we don't have the authority to keep those prints, so they get deleted off the system.
Oh, do they really?
Yep. So
because your fingerprints would have the paper trail would have showed that. 3 years ago, there was an incident and your fingerprints were there.
Already you would have been spoken to about that.
But if there's all clean, only because of the situation that you're in at the moment,
yes,
it then gets destroyed.
We would destroy it because you've been found not guilty of the offence.
Sure, exactly. So you're free to go and you're not someone looking out for.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking that, because here we are talking about fingerprints and we are in 2025, I thought that we wouldn't be using fingerprints no more, but they're still a powerful tool.
Still
aren't
very
they?
Powerful tool, absolutely. Mm. Because they're unique to each person. So.
Yes.
Yep. Okay. And our fingerprint experts, look, they read people's fingerprints like a map. There's certain characteristics to your fingerprints.
Sure.
Don't ask me anything about it. I'm no expert on fingerprints at all.
Okay.
Other than I own a set.
And you roll the culprit's finger on the ink. That's all you know.
Exactly. Yep. So, but they actually very. Very experienced in identifying particulars with a fingerprint that are unique and then matching them up to certain individuals.
Well, the same thing applies for a weapon. When a gun is shot off, the bullets.
That's right.
Exactly. Bullet matches the...
The rifling in the bullet
barrel.
Will match to that weapon. Exactly. They're unique also, so...
Sure.
Yep. There's another.
But still, then we're talking about fingerprints back onto the gun, if that's the case, too. You
correct.
Know?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
We exactly know which right. gun, but don't know who shot the gun.
Yep.
But here's the bullet that matches the gun.
That's so right. Yep. Yeah. So it's just a tool that we'll use, and there'll be a mountain of evidence, hopefully, that point towards the crime, and that is the suspect is the person that committed the crime.
And when individuals are using gloves, not giving any ideas out there for the criminals, if they're using gloves, then they're safe. In regarding fingerprints?
Well, look, they're less likely to leave a fingerprint with a glove, but then we'll go to DNA. Which is probably even more conclusive than your fingerprints.
If you turn the glove inside out, can you get the fingerprints?
No.
Okay,
so there's certain surfaces that will produce fingerprints. So Our first one identified, James Cragg, on the outside of a beer bottle.
Yep.
That's a perfect surface to get a fingerprint off.
There you go.
Okay, but rough services, you know, CSI has let a few people down. Like, we can't get fingerprints off a rock.
Yep.
So, you know, there's...
not yet, anyway.
Not yet.
21st century.
Exactly.
All the tools.
But there are specific ones.
Good yarning with you both. Thank you for the yarn.
Cheers.
My brother, good to see you.
Likewise.
Take care. All the best. And I believe there's a cyclone down south.
Yep.
And,
big shout out to the mob there
at down south as well, you know.
Good on you.
Okay, mate. Headquarters, all the best.
Know how North Queenslanders feel. Thank you very much. Take care.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Beautiful yarn with the boys in blue. Edmonton Police, which are yarning. Fantastic program.
Saints.